Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power in this place. We thank you for your word, Lord God, and we thank you for opening up our hearts and our ears to hear what you have to say to us. Father, we ask that you speak to us plainly, clearly, and with simplicity. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, for challenging us this morning through your word. We pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to us through this word and through this message. And Father, we thank you, Father God, that we will leave filled with your love, your word, your understanding, your revelation. And Lord, we just give you all the glory and praise. Bless this word and let the word prevail in our hearts this morning. And for this, we thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say, amen, amen and amen. You know, we talk about the 4th of July, and all I can think about is sunshine and warmth. Amen. It seems so far away, though. But we thank God that, we don't thank God for the winter, but we certainly thank God that the winter is not going to be here to stay. It's just for a season. Let me start with this. There was this elderly woman who had belonged to a small church. And she had been sick and was in a hospital. And so her pastor began making calls for volunteers to go and visit her. And so the first person that he called didn't answer the phone. The second person that he called said that they were busy all week. Another person says they don't do good in hospitals. And someone else says, I'll pray for her. And so hours have gone by, and the pastor continued making calls looking for volunteers, but no one went. And so finally, a quiet member of the church, someone who's rarely noticeable, answers the phone and says, I'll go today. And you see, that visit changed everything. Because you see, the elderly woman had been crying, praying, and later she testified saying that she was about to give up hope. Now, what she really needed was not a sermon or a song or even prayer. What she needed was someone to be available. Are you hearing me this morning? And this word, I believe, will challenge you this morning, because there will always be opportunities to make ourselves available in times of need. And the question is, are we tuned into God when that time arises? Okay? So, are you ready? Now, understand this. God's work is often delayed not because people are unwilling to pray, but because people are unwilling to go. People are unwilling to make themselves available. There are many believers, I believe all of us here this morning, we all want to serve God. How many of us want to serve God? How many of us would say we want to be used of God? But not many of us are willing to make ourselves available to God. And we're going to find that out this morning. But see, God's greatest challenge is finding somebody who's willing to go. Finding someone who's willing to make themselves available to be reached, to be used, and to go wherever God sends them. And so again, this is going to be challenging. But I want you to start in Isaiah chapter 6 and look at verse 8 with me. Because this morning we're going to talk about the subject of availability. We're going to talk about why it's so important for availability to be so effective. Why is it so important to God? Why is it so important to the world? And why is it so important to us? And so in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, it says this: Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Now, when Isaiah saw God in a vision, God asked a very simple but powerful question. He says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And notice that God didn't say, who is the smartest? Who is the talented, the most talented? Who is the most gifted? Or who is the most strongest? No, God was simply asking for availability. And Isaiah, as we see here, answered the call without hesitation. Now, you cannot receive a call if your phone is turned off. However, being available will always keep the line open with God. So that's why it's so important that we stay tuned with God. Because the moment that opportunity comes, now we've got to make a decision. Do we make ourselves available? Or do we say another time? You see, a lot of people, they say they want to serve God. So, Lord, use me. But when the opportunity comes, they say, Lord, maybe later. But our purpose as Christians is to serve. And to serve means making yourself available. You and I were put on this earth to make contributions to this world, not just be consumers in this world. And that's very important for us to understand. Now, there are many people who believe that serving God only happens in church. But, of course, we don't believe that. I mean, that's partly true because we come to church and we serve. But serving God is much more than that because serving God goes beyond outside the church. But I want you to go to Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 25, where Jesus clearly defines greatness. Now, in verse 24, we read where the disciples were arguing among themselves about who is the greatest. And so Jesus had to step in, and then he says in verse 25, in this world, the kings and great men lorded over the people, yet they are called friends of the people or benefactors. Verse 26 says, but among you it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Then he asked the question in verse 27, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course. Well, watch this, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. So Jesus says that true greatness is in serving more than being served. I like what Dr. Martin Luther King said when he made this statement. He says, not everybody can be famous, but everybody can serve. Because greatness is about serving. It's about going into service. That is what's more important. And I like that saying, because it is so true, because greatness is determined by service. But see, the world has it backwards. The world has it where you have to serve somebody, and the person that's being served is considered greater and more important and more influential. But Jesus says, but not here. Not with us. Not in the kingdom. So, you know, we can lift our hands in worship, and we can pray loudly. But if we close our hearts to people, if we neglect making ourselves available to others to serve, then our praying and our worship loses its power. It loses its effectiveness. Jesus made it his life to make himself available for people. Listen to what he says in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus was saying that he didn't come demanding service. He came giving service. It reminds him of a story of this powerful king who comes to this small village. And everybody expected him to sit on the throne and be served. But he shocked everybody because what he did was he took off his crown, kneeled down, and began washing people's dirty feet, feeding the hungry, and bandaging wounds. This man, or this king, was able to step down from his lofty position and make himself available to serve his own subjects. My friends, this is what Jesus did. He came to this earth, left his lofty position, took on the form of a servant. Now, his was interesting. He could have taken on any form. He could have taken on the form of a man who was wealthy. He could have taken the form of a man who was powerful and influential. But instead, he chose the form of a servant so that he can serve mankind. That was his purpose. And Jesus didn't just go around teaching about serving. He embodied it. He fed, he washed, he listened, he healed, and he made himself available and ultimately gave his life. Jesus served God by serving people. You see, serving God is not just vertical, it's horizontal. Serving God is serving people. And serving people is serving God. Look at Matthew chapter 25. And look at beginning of verse 35. Listen to what Jesus says. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it unto me. When we serve the Lord, or to serve the Lord, is to make yourself available to the sick and the hurting, the discouraged and the neglected, the lonely and the lost. Are you hearing me this morning? There was a small church who would pray every morning for Jesus to show up in their services. And so one Sunday morning, when services began, this homeless guy walks into the church, dirty clothes, tired eyes, and no one greeted him. Later, a single mom walks into the church. She looked lost, overwhelmed, and she felt like she felt out of place, but no one reached her. And so when the service ended, the very people who prayed for Jesus to show up in their services began to complain and say, Jesus never showed up. But he did. He just didn't look, or he didn't look like they expected. We need to be very careful when the opportunity comes in front of us for us to be able to make ourselves available. Because whoever we serve is like serving the Lord Jesus himself. No one can make the claim that they serve God while refusing to serve people. Because understand that serving God is not about avoiding messes. It's about serving people in their mess. So when we make ourselves available to serve people even in their mess, we need to remind ourselves that we are also serving the Lord Jesus. So you and I were designed to make a difference in this world. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 10 with me. The Bible tells us that we are God's handiwork, designed for service. Paul says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Paul tells us that we are his masterpiece, his handiwork. Understand that God did not just save us from his wrath and eternal punishment, but God also saved us to make something beautiful of us. The Bible says that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. That means that God, that we are to be beautiful masterpiece for God's service. And our good works are simply the fruits of our new life in Christ. That's all it is. And this new life is to be a continuous series of good works and not just a single act. Look at what what Paul says in the book of Titus, chapter 3 and verse 8. He said this: "This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God," watch this, "will devote themselves to do what? Doing good. And these teachings are good and beneficial for everyone." So Paul here clearly emphasizes the importance of living a lifestyle of doing good for others. And according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we have been spiritually arranged for a lifestyle of good works. Amen? Mother Teresa once said this. She said, "A day lived without doing something good for others is a day not worth living." That was a powerful statement. But the scripture says we were created in Christ Jesus, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, God makes ready opportunities for doing good works. God will often lead us to situations where the opportunity is there to serve somebody or serve others. How many of us have had opportunities to do something good or to serve somebody and we miss the opportunity? Can I see some hands? Almost everyone has done that. But God always gives us that opportunity. But that's why it's important to be tuned in to God. Because when the moment comes, when that opportunity comes up to you, and it's your time and your turn, we've got to answer the call. But we need to make sure that our phone is not turned off. We need to make sure that our phone, our spiritual phone, is turned up high. One of the most amazing truths in the Bible is that God, who needs nothing, serves. And what's even more surprising is how he chooses to serve. And God chooses to serve the world through people. Ordinary, flawed, and imperfect people. And the Bible is full of is a record of all the wonderful things that God has accomplished through people. Through flawed, imperfect people. Now, Jesus is the best example of that. Go to John chapter 14. Look at verse 10 with me. It says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" He said, "The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father lives in me, does his work through me." God chose to serve the world through his son Jesus. The same God who is almighty, all-sufficient, still chooses to accomplish his work through imperfect people like you and I. Oh, was I supposed to say that? I'm the imperfect one. But not because he needs us, but because he chose us. And God chooses you and I to be his vessels to accomplish his divine purpose on this earth. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13 that it is God that works in us to do his will and his good pleasure. It is God who is empowering us to be the hands and feet into this world, in this world. But God uses ordinary, imperfect vessels. Because God's chosen method to reach people is what? Our people. Plain, ordinary people. How many of you have a favorite coffee mug that you love to drink your coffee from? Can I see some hands? Okay, almost everyone here has a favorite coffee mug. And this is your coffee mug, and nobody else drinks out of it but you. Well, let's imagine that your favorite coffee mug is old, chipped, and the logo on the side of the cup is faded. But every morning, that cup still holds a cup of coffee just fine. Now, because the coffee mug is chipped and old and faded, do you throw it away?
No.
Wow, some of you are really adamant about that, huh? Do you throw it away because it's chipped and old? Do you throw it away because it's not perfect? No. You hold on to it. You use it because it's useful. Well, it doesn't matter how imperfect, how chipped, or how faded you and I are. We're still useful to God. Amen. God uses people, flawed, imperfect people that he chooses to work through. And let me ask this question. How many flawed and imperfect people do we have in this room? Can I see some hands? All the imperfect, flawed people in this room. Okay, some of you are not raising your hand, so you must be perfect and flawless. But that's just about every one of us. But you know what that means? That means that we qualify for the Master's use. Amen? And of course, the Bible is filled with examples of flawed and imperfect people that God used. Moses was an example. Talk about a brother who was flawed and imperfect. Even he thought himself as being flawed and imperfect. But yet God was able to use him to do great things. Peter was imperfect and also impulsive. But yet God was still able to use him and do some great things in his life. The Apostle Paul was another one who was very flawed and imperfect. But God was still able to use him and do some great things in our lives. So imagine what God will do for us. Imagine the impact that God will make through our lives when we make ourselves available. And it doesn't matter how imperfect you may be, God can still use you. And God does not choose vessels based on appearances. He doesn't choose vessels based on how good you look, how well you dressed, how talented you are, or how much ability you have. God bases his choosing on availability. And availability alone. But when we refuse to answer the call, when we ignore opportunities to serve and make ourselves available, then we're blocking what God will be able to do in us and through us. We are blocking the great things that God is able to do in our lives. And my friends, we don't want to do that. We don't want to limit God. See, God is not limited by our flaws or imperfections. He's limited by our unwillingness and our disobedience and our unavailability, if there's such a word. But God can only work through those who are not only available, but also obedient. A good example of that is Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham and told him to leave his country. Now understand that God did not give him a map. He just gave him a command. Abraham did not have a GPS. He didn't have a timeline. He didn't have a guarantee of comfort. But yet the Bible says that Abraham obeyed God, not knowing where he was going. And when he obeyed God, even in the midst of uncertainty, God was able to do some great things. Let me show you. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 7 real quick. See, one of the things about God is when he tells us to go, he doesn't give us full explanation. He just gives a command to go. But see, what happens is that when we obey God, when Abraham obeyed God, that's when God was able to release his power. Power is released after obedience, not before obedience. But in Bible times, the people used to keep valuables in what they call the clay jars, you know, jars of clay. And these jars of clay, they had no value. And sometimes they were cracked. But it didn't matter whether they were cracked or not, because what mattered was inside that jar. Because that's what was valuable, what was inside. This is where they stored their treasures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 7. Paul says this, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Now, Paul uses the word treasure as a reference to the light of the gospel that he was talking about in verses 5 and 6. And when he used the term earthen vessel, he was referring to the jars of clay that I just talked about. The jars of clay that people put their treasures in, that put their valuables in. And remember, these jars may be cracked and have no value, but it's what's inside the jar that has value. Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessel. The reference that he was making when he uses the term earthen vessel, he was talking about us. We are that earthen vessel. We are the jars of clay that God puts into us treasures. And when I say treasures, I'm not talking about just the light of the gospel. I'm talking about God's power, God's presence, God's kindness, God's love, God's mercy, God's compassion, etc. These are things that God put in us, in this earthen vessel. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but some of you, I'm sure all of you have received, how many of you ordered things from Amazon? Okay. We know where your money's going. So let's say you order something, right? And then they deliver it to your doorstep. Now, whatever it is that you ordered usually come in a box or in a packaging. How many of you get excited about the box? How many of you say, "Wow, that box is amazing. That box is so awesome. It's more awesome than what's in the box." How many of you ever do that? Did somebody raise their hand? Okay. No, of course not. Nobody gets excited over a box. Okay, all right. Let's not hope you don't get excited more than what's inside the box. But most people get excited about what's in the box, not the box itself. And my point here is this. It's not the vessel that matters. It's what's in the vessel. The power is not in the vessel. It's in God. And let's not make that mistake. God is the one that works through us, through his power, through his presence, through his kindness. Think about this. When we have an opportunity to serve somebody, when we come across someone who's in need, and God calls your name, and it's your time to make yourself available, then here's the reason why availability is so important. Is because when we make ourselves available, we allow the treasures that is in us, God's kindness, God's love, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's grace, God's power, God's presence, and it flows from out of us into the person or persons that we are serving. Do you see that? Imagine you having an opportunity to serve somebody, to help somebody, or to meet a need, and you miss that opportunity. Well, it's more than just missing an opportunity. You miss the opportunity for God to flow through you and into that person and receiving his grace and his mercy and his power and his love. Because understand this, we don't create the love. We don't create God's presence. We don't create God's power. We don't create God's kindness. That comes from God. We are simply the deliverer of these treasures. It's not about the vessel. It's about what's inside the vessel. We are simply the delivery method. But it's God who is the one who supplies these treasures that he put in us. Because it's God that works through us. And when we have that opportunity, we're giving God the opportunity to express himself, to flow through us, and pour all over that person or persons that we're helping. So can you see why availability and obedience is so important? Can you understand why it's so important to God? And why is it so important to the world? Because the world is in desperate need of experiencing God's presence and power. They are in desperate need to experience God's love and mercy and grace. And God's chosen method to express that love, that joy, that peace, that grace is through you and I. The power is not in the vessel. It's from the God who is in this vessel. The work that God does through us when we make ourselves available is not always spectacular or dramatic. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 42. Jesus says, and if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Now, a cup of water seemed kind of small and unspectacular, right? But in God's hands, listen to this, in God's hands, nothing that is done in love is never small. Sometimes serving others can look as unspectacular as making a phone call. Or even going up to somebody and saying, hello, how are you doing? Or giving somebody a ride. Or giving somebody an encouraging word. Not as spectacular, not dramatic. But even though these little acts of service may be small, but it may feel huge to the person who's in need. Amen. So let's not minimize the little things that we do in people's lives, because they go a long ways, because little in God's hands becomes much. So let's not underestimate the little things that we do for people, because God's power and his presence can still flow even though the act may be small and insignificant or unspectacular. Because understand this, no matter what God uses this for, whether it's to do small things, insignificant things, or great things, the same power and presence, the same treasure is still in this earthen vessel that can still be expressed through us and through others. Jesus is the perfect model of availability. Go to Matthew chapter 20. He is the perfect model of availability, willingness, and obedience. And in verse 29, it says this. This is a story where Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, and a large crowd followed behind. And he says, two blind men were sitting beside the road, and when they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Be quiet, the crowd yelled at them, but they only shouted louder, saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then verse 32 says, and when Jesus heard them, he stopped, called, what do you want me to do for you? So we have these two blind men sitting along the road, hearing that Jesus was coming, and they shouted for Jesus to get his attention because they needed help. Now, what Jesus did was a demonstration of what real serving is all about. By making himself available, this is what he did. He heard and he stopped. In that moment, he made himself available. If you want to be used of God, then you've got to be willing to be interrupted. There was this taxi driver who was rushing to finish his shift because he wanted to get home in time so he could have dinner with his family. He was tired, he was hungry. But as he was getting ready to finish his shift, he sees a man standing on the side of the road. And the man looked distressed and confused. And so he hesitated and he thought to himself, and this might happen to you, if I stop, I'll get home late. He said, if I stop, I'm going to miss dinner with my family. So as he was thinking, all of a sudden something inside of him told him to stop. So he goes over to the man, and he finds out that the man had just received bad news, and he needed a ride. But he needed more than that. He needed someone to listen. So during that short drive, the man opened up and told him about his fears, his loss, and his loneliness. And when they finally got to their destination, the man says to the taxi driver, thank you. What did he say? He said, thank you. I needed this more than you know. Now, that may seem insignificant. That may not be unspectacular, or that may be unspectacular. But this man, this taxi driver, even though it was inconvenient for him, even though it meant getting home late and missing dinner with his family, yet he took the time, he stopped, he listened, and he made himself available, and he made a difference in that person's life. And when that taxi driver, he did get home late, and he did miss dinner with his family. But he came home with a peace in his heart because he heard the call. He heard the Holy Spirit prompting him to stop. You see, that's the story of the two blind men. When Jesus stopped, he listened and made himself available. Now, let me just add one more thing before I close. See, availability means letting go of convenience. When we stop for people, we are stepping into God's purpose. Please think about that. See, Rick Warren once made this statement, a very powerful statement. This is what he said. He said, being a servant means giving up the right to control your schedule and allowing God to interrupt it whenever he needs it. Think about that. Whenever you run into an opportunity to help someone who is in need, there will be an interruption, but it's more than just an interruption, because understand this, people are not the interruption. They are the assignment. And whenever you get interrupted, think about that. Don't quickly dismiss it. Don't feel like, oh man, this is so inconvenient. I got to be somewhere at such a time. Stop. And realize that this may be an assignment from God. This may be your opportunity to make a difference in someone's life. When Jesus stopped for these two blind men, and he says to them, what do you want me to do? Or what do you want me to do for you? In verse 32. Now listen very carefully. Jesus offered his help before even knowing what the details were, before even knowing what they needed help for. If you remember back in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, when God said, who will I send? And who will go for us? And then Isaiah quickly says, I'll go, send me. But Isaiah quickly volunteered before knowing the details, before knowing what God was going to send him, and before knowing what he was going to face. See, his availability came before the details.
And sometimes being available means to say yes before knowing all the details. How many of you have ever had an opportunity to help somebody and then you say, well, you know, I'll help you. And then you find out that they needed some big, tremendous help. And then you say, oh, man, what did I say? You start regretting it, you know? But if it's a God opportunity, if it's God's assignment, then availability should always come before the details. Because understand this, when you do that, when you say yes before knowing all the details, you're trusting God to equip you to help that individual. Faith always steps ahead of interruption. See, the way it works is this. Faith always responds before understanding the details. But when we take that step, God will show us the next step. See, by doing that, we're trusting God. We're saying, Lord, I'm making myself available because I'm your vessel. There are treasures in this earthen vessel that you want to flow out of me and you want to pour into someone's life. So, Lord, I'm trusting you to equip me to help this individual. I may not know what the situation is. I may not know all of the details, but understand God knows. And God knows exactly how to help that person. And you are the one that God chose to help that individual. Because you're a beautiful thing that God had created for good works. Let me share this last verse and then we'll close. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 and 28, as I said before, there are always opportunities to serve. There will always be an opportunity to make yourself available. Proverbs says in 27 of chapter 3, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power. Verse 28 says, if you can help your neighbor now, don't say come back tomorrow and then I'll help you. To make ourselves available, we need to remove the sign in our heart that said, do not disturb. And put up the sign saying, available. Who is our neighbor? Anyone who has a need. Because a neighbor is anyone that God puts in front of us and cross our path. I like what John Wesley said. He said this, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, by all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and at all times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can. Having availability or having the ability is one thing, but being available is what God is interested in. And if I'm challenging you this morning, if you struggle with making yourself available, if you've come across situations and opportunities where you can be a help to somebody and you neglected to do that for whatever reason, whether you're too busy, you just didn't have a time, or you're too tired or whatever, it's time to put those excuses aside. And it's time to see ourselves as God's workmanship, created to serve, created to make ourselves available to help someone in need. And it's important that we stay tuned into God because you're not the only one that God chose to save the world. But God will choose you to save someone in your neighborhood or someone in your workplace. But stay tuned to God and know that whatever opportunity comes across your path, it's an assignment, not an interruption. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father God, that as you challenge us in the year 2026, that we are to make ourselves available, Lord God, for the people you send across our path. Father, help us to be attentive. Help us to be aware. Help us to be sensitive to your voice. Help us to be tuned in to you, Lord God. So whenever that opportunity comes, I'll be ready. like Isaiah. Lord, I thank you for creating me to be your vessel, a vessel that you poured your treasures in so that we can pour it on somebody else. Lord, we thank you, Father God, that one person can make a difference in a person's life. Lord, let us be that person. Let us be aware of our surroundings. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, and we step out in faith, trusting that you'll equip us to help and to serve in wherever area that we need to serve in. And so, Father, we just thank you and honor you today. We thank you, Father. And Lord, we ask that you forgive us if we've missed opportunities, Lord God. But Lord, we know, Lord, that opportunities are always there. But Lord, let us not miss any more opportunities. Let us not neglect the opportunity that you bring across our path. And let us be available. Let us be willing. And let us be obedient. And Lord, we thank you. And we praise you. We honor you. And we give you all the glory and praise. Thank you for choosing us, as imperfect and flawed as we are. Thank you that you still have use for us. Thank you, Lord God, that you can still use us to do great things. And so, Lord God, we just give you praise and glory and honor for the God that you are. And we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, everyone.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Faith Christian Center. We're so glad you could join us this morning, and Happy New Year. Hey, Happy New Year, right, Rick?
Yes, good morning, good to see everyone.
This handsome man over here, this is my husband, Rick, and he was kind enough to join me this morning and to talk about this message that Pastor Mike gave this morning on being available, making yes. ourselves available Amen. To be a blessing to others and letting God use us, work through us to bless others. And yeah, we're not perfect. Some of us would say, well, I'm not good enough, or I've made mistakes, or so what? Really, everybody has. Yes. We're cracked Amen. Vessels, you know, but we're still usable to God. And Amen. We're to let the kindness and the mercy and the love of God right. in us pour out to others, right, Rick?
Exactly.
And bless them and help them. Be available. And my takeaway was, it just impressed me so, so much what Mother Teresa said. A day spent not serving someone, not helping someone, is a day not worth living. That's powerful.
Certainly is.
What was your takeaway, Rick?
Well, in the morning, I know that God's mercies are renewed daily. And morning prayers have always been, thank you, Lord, for that. But now my prayer is going to be, yeah. thank you, Lord, for that. And how can I bestow that on someone else, knowing that those mercies and stuff, because I look forward to serving and helping other people.
Amen.
But now just knowing the availability and thanking him that although I'm not perfect, that I can go out and be a blessing to someone else. And yeah. that's really encouraging and makes the day really worth living. And Amen. I just really appreciate that.
Amen. Amen. That's really good. And, you know, and I have to say, because I know this man, he's been doing this for people his whole life, being a blessing. How can I help you? What can I do for you?
Amen.
And, you know, I've mentioned this before. I had a brother who was paralyzed. He was a quadriplegic paralyzed from here down for 30 years. And yes, we kept up with our visits and helping. But you know what was really impressive? Was, and I've mentioned it before, when people would come
That's right.
to visit him,
Amen.
We would be tired. You know, say we visit 3 times a week each, you know, separately. You get tired. And the rest of the family
That's
did
right.
visit also. But when relatives or friends came in unexpectedly and they walked in the door and say, I'm sitting there tired, or
Thank
Rick's
Lord.
Tired, and here comes these people with their love and mm-hmm. their kindness and their joy and That's their right. encouragement and
Very
their
good.
Smiles. And I would see my brother's face light up
That's right.
because here they came. And you know what that's called? It's called boots on the ground. Boots
That's
on
right.
the ground. They were active.
Mm-hmm.
They were soldiers. They were out there. And
Let
you know,
go.
Some of them, they did that for 30 years. They kept coming for, right, Rick?
Exactly.
Never stopped. They were there. And I'd get such a sense of relief. Wow, here they come. And I trusted them, and I knew they loved us, and they loved my brother. And we could leave, go home, get some rest, go do other things, tend to the family. And he was in safe hands. He was in loving hands. Did they have a lot to give? Were they wealthy people? Were they? No, they were just loving, kind people who were giving from their hearts. It's all about availability.
Amen.
So whatever God lays on your heart, if he lays someone, someone to go visit or to call or to write, whatever, just do it. Trust God. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And that's why we're here too.
That's right.
Right, Rick?
Just a phone call to a neighbor, a shut-in or something, means all the difference in the world to them.
Yeah.
And it's just part of being part of the body of Christ. And
that's
it's
right.
Awesome.
That's right. So God bless you. We love you. We're glad you joined us today.
Right.
If you can come in and join us in person, we'd love it.
We'd love to greet you.
That's right. Yeah. And a happy, blessed new year. If there's something you need this year, if you're questioning, you have questions about the Lord, or you've never made Jesus your Lord, there's a number on your screen that you can text that's monitored 24/7. And someone will get back to you and help you with your questions or whatever it is that you need. We have Bible study Wednesday nights. If you can come out, we'd love to have you. And of course, church 9:30 on Sunday morning. So happy, blessed, prosperous new year. May you walk in the fullness of your calling this year, whatever God's given you to do, and that you be prosperous and have the joy of the Lord as your strength. We love you. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
And God bless.